This is Sean Hennan, writer of episode 518, Zarak Mozadek. You're listening to Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God an envelope of diamonds. Welcome to the award-winning Blacklist Exposed. I am Agent Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson. And yes, Raymond Reddington is also my father.
Mine too.
Yeah, everybody. He's just popping up kids left and right. Thanks for joining us once again as we discuss number 23 in the Blacklist, Zarak Mozadek, written by Sean Hennan and directed by Terrence O'Hara. Show notes and other intel for this episode of the Blacklist Exposed can be found where? At theblacklistexposed.com.
Now, last week we asked all of you, did Samar's eyes, or smize, say yes or no?
And 50% said no. She knew it was just a gift from grandma. 40% said the world may never know because it's the Blacklist. It's pretty funny. And 10% said yes, she does want to marry him someday. Troy, that's a Westworld reference. That's, hey, you know, that's combining podcasts right now.
It's coming around the corner. Got to get back in the game, back in the swing of things. Melissa Ray also said, I thought Liz's advice was horrible. And we found out this week that apparently Aram agrees with you.
Liza Belay, for me, Saram doesn't even seem a couple. There isn't all that chemistry. It's a little plain. So what?
She was, I don't know. It's been a little chemistry since season two.
It's a little sizzle for me, but hey, teach their own.
Okay. Monica Stolfa said, Samar picked up that Aram was nervous about what the intention of giving her the ring meant, so she just let it ride there by easing Aram's fears of miscommunication.
Lauren Trout, or Trouté, if we're going to get all French about it, I think any woman would know it wasn't a proposal by the way he presented it. She responded how I probably would have. I don't think there's any indication of if she wants to marry him or not based on that, because it was obvious he wasn't proposing. Yeah, I would agree with you, Lauren, and that's our last one. And you're right, because Liz gives bad advice.
And that's exactly how she took it. She's like, There's no proposal because there was no question.
Right, which is exactly the correct way she should have taken it. All that mumbo jumbo was not scientifically proven. It just, you know, there's no basis in fact.
None at all. All right, well, we have our profiling question for next week, even though we have next week off, and we'll come back 2 weeks from now.
Let me clarify this, because it's confusing me. So, there is no episode next week, even though it's like a two-parter?
There is no episode next week, because it's not a two-parter. It's just the signpost. The two-parter next week is a two-parter conclusion from something earlier this season.
And we'll leave it at that. Got it. All right. Got it. Continue,
yes.
Sir.
Yes. No episode next week. We'll be back in 2 weeks on the 25th.
Got it.
Okay. So the profiling question for then, that gives you 2 weeks to answer. Who is the man that wants to meet with Garvey? Is it a new player on the board?
I thought it was this guy. Mozadek. I thought it was him. No.
It could be, but I thought Mozadek actually worked for him.
All right. Well, we'll find out.
I know. Sea Duke, maybe?
Oh, Marmaduke?
Marmaduke. That's a good one. All right. Well, before we're stuck in these catacombs forever, let's go ahead and get to this week's case profile.
All right. Zarak Mozadek. This is a pretty straightforward episode. We kick off with a flip of script abduction as we think a young boy is going to be going after this young lady. Turns out, bam, flip the script. It's really her who is kidnapping this kid and then apparently torturing him with an Oculus Rift, because I don't know what that was, but it looked like VR this kid's wearing.
I thought it was like a flight training sequence or something. Yeah, he was actually playing a video game to try to do something for them, fly a drone potentially. I don't know. It was interesting.
I thought it was some kind of torture technique. Like, what, they're forcing him to play virtual reality because people really don't like it that much that they're making him suffer through it. Okay. Well, the purpose is to get Zarak Mozadek, who is Garvey's supplier, and he's abroad. Really, this episode is all about the heist and the stakeouts, though. You know, I hesitate. I don't want to use the term filler, because filler implies that there's nothing going on here. There's a lot going on. There's just not a lot of story development this particular episode. It's really a fun heist episode. You've got Aram and Liz concoct a plan to steal info from internal affairs by faking a bicycle hit. And then they stake out Pete's tavern, which leads to things that happen, which we'll talk about later. And then Red and Samar and Ressler plan to get Mossadegh. But first, they have to get him. They break him out. They have a whole heist to kidnap him. And then they have to rescue his son. Everybody ultimately gets what they want. And the church lady gets a ton of diamonds. So what do you think of this particular episode? Do you understand what I'm saying when I'm saying it's kind of a – it's not a filler episode. It's just more – it's more just a heist as opposed to lots of character stuff going on.
Yeah, I mean, there's a clear signpost at the end of this episode that they needed to hit in order to set up the last four for the season. And as you transition from last week into this week, it's what do you put in there, right? There has to be a reason for Liz and this mysterious woman to connect at the end of the episode. So how do we make that happen? And then you have the Aram Samar storyline. So that has to obviously go somewhere. And then you just need something for everybody else to do. So, yeah, I wouldn't call it a quote-unquote filler, but it was clearly a signpost episode where you just needed to bridge between one and the other, which kind of left some of the story a little bit high level, I guess, would be the best way to put it. But still entertaining, nonetheless.
It was entertaining all the way through. It took... I mean, you know, it was kind of like Walking Dead to a degree where, you know, you get 5 minutes of, oh, crap! But the rest of it is just like, oh, that was fun. You know what I mean?
I like to call it the American syndrome as well.
The American syndrome?
Yeah, it's like you watch for like 40 minutes and it's such a slow burn. And then those last 4 minutes, you're like, holy crap. Gotcha. And then it makes you watch the next one and you go, oh, why did I start watching another one? I'm so sleepy.
I've never watched that show before.
And then, of course, the last 4 minutes, holy crap again.
Yeah, so. Still haven't watched that show.
But I guess the question for you is, was this a holy crap moment?
No.
There's a lot of people that were shocked.
This is one that I'll be perfectly honest. Somebody said, I don't remember where it was. I was somewhere and I hopped in the Facebook group or something. And somebody was talking about that. They saw a promo that said huge secret revealed this particular episode. Right. And I knew it wasn't going to be the bones because I'm convinced we're never going to get that answer. But
we'll get it in the finale. They said we're going to get it in the finale.
Yeah, only when I see it. But they said there's going to be a big secret. And I don't know why. I just said, well, Jennifer, because I knew from when we talked to John earlier this season. Was it this? We talked to him this season, right?
Yeah, Christmas.
Not too long ago. And I remember, you know, we had specifically asked either that time or the last time we talked to him. We had asked about, you know, if there was going to be any resolution with Jennifer. And he's like, and he didn't say anything. He just specifically, you know, he just said, hey, nothing's been forgotten, da 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 da. And that just made me think, you know what? I think we're going to get some Jennifer this season because I really feel like fans brought that up a lot last year that what happened with Jennifer, this daughter that just disappeared. And I'm not saying she's definitely Jennifer, but all signs point to her being Jennifer.
Well, and I think this is the downfall of us doing the group and the podcast.
No, this is watching. It's me watching the TV. Even if you hadn't said anything, I still, whenever they said big secret, I have two thoughts. One, they're not going to give any big secrets. It's just NBC's promo. Or it's going to be Jennifer because it's the one thing they haven't really touched in a long time.
I mean, they could have revealed the bones and just said, ha, look at that. We said episode 22. We gave it to you early. I mean, it could have been that, but it wasn't.
Yeah, but it wasn't. And I didn't think that. So therefore, I was still accurate.
No, what I was saying was I think this is the downfall of us being such astute watchers of the show. Like we're thinking, okay, we have this other daughter that was out there, Witsec. Oh, okay, Garvey's in Witsec. So it makes sense that this person would be Jennifer. So for me, it was the, oh, this makes logical sense. Cool reveal, you know, where other people are like, oh my goodness. So I don't know if that takes away. Does it take away at all? Because I mean, I feel like we should be like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. But I'm just kind of like, yeah. That's great.
No, I mean, I really like the reveal because now in my head, I mean, it still leaves you with that what if. And we're going to talk about it more later, but it still leaves you with the what's the connection to Garvey? You know, how does that play out? You know, it's more of I think I knew it was going to be a factor. I just didn't I didn't expect this to be the connection.
Really? Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. I didn't expect Garvey to be connected in some way. So. Yeah,
I mean, I figured Garvey would have been protecting her from a Witsec perspective, but not like a father to her for the entire time that she's been in Witsec. That was an interesting twist.
I thought it, because he was a U.S. Marshal, that's the only thing. And I knew she was in WITSEC. So, of course, you connect those two. And that's probably the biggest give to she's going to be in this part because you got a U.S. Marshal involved. But I thought it was going to be more for leverage. Like at some point, he was going to pull her out and use her for leverage in some way. That's what I thought it was going to go. I didn't expect hugs and kisses and flowers and whatever.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, so you were thinking Garvey was going to use her against Red versus yes. her actually being like in cahoots with Garvey in a way.
Well, it might be the way that she has been raised up, so to speak. Yeah, never know.
And still could be used for leverage. Not to say that couldn't happen next week.
He very well could be keeping her close and keeping her happy to use her as leverage. Yes.
Yes.
And of course, or he could very well be, you know, we're only looking at this entire storyline from the perspective of Liz and Raymond. It very much could be that he's protecting her this whole time. Like this whole thing has been to protect her.
Yeah, because, I mean, now that we're in the week of showrunners, you know, completely trolling their fans, if anybody saw the Westworld news, it could be interesting. Like, we're assuming that this is Jennifer, but I don't think her name was actually said in the episode specifically. She just said, hey, I'm Raymond Reddington's daughter. We all assume it's Jennifer, but there was no name actually given. And then when you take that and kind of compound it into this situation, maybe she's playing a role, or maybe she's not Jennifer. Maybe she's a third kid or something. I mean,
okay,
you can come up with all these crazy theories. I don't buy into any of them. I'm just going to put that on the record. But I mean, when there's no actual name given in the episode, it still leaves them some pull the rug. I never get that phrase right. Pull the wool out from underneath you.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah. There could be a surprise yet around the corner that we're not seeing coming.
Don't introduce a third kid. Because I'm out.
Yeah.
That, twins, there's a couple things that make me go out the door.
Well, in theory, you specifically already assumed a third kid because we knew Liz, we knew Jennifer. And then if you go back to the closet and you think there were two kids in the closet, there would be three kids.
I've said before, I think it's very possible that Jennifer is the other kid.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah.
Jennifer in the closet with her. Gotcha.
I'm correct. Okay. I said that a long time ago. Go to the tape.
Go to the tapes.
Go to the tape. Well, we're talking a lot about it before we even get there, so hang on. Let's go to music. We always do characters, but first let's go to music. Let's knock that out.
Oh, man, that was an easy transition. You missed that one. Let's go to the tapes, the cassette tapes, so we can listen to some Grems. Well,
because I don't do dad jokes, dude, so let's roll.
Roll the tape. We have the Grems with their song Sitcom while we're watching the guy walk down the street, Mozadek's son, as a woman follows behind. Then we have Rita Hayworth from a great movie, Gilda, singing Put the Blame on Mame as they watch the flick in a theater completely closed out to them. How do we get that deal, Aaron?
How do we get what deal?
How do we get that like closed off theater just for the two of us? I mean, we had to share our theater on Saturday. That wasn't fair.
That's true. We went and saw a movie. Yeah. Everybody cares, but we did. We went and saw A Quiet Place. Go see it. It's amazing.
Awesome. Don't make a noise. Pink Martini then came with Sympathique. In Paris, Samar calls Red to find out when he plans to return to the hotel as Wrestler demands, I want it now, that Red share the plan for getting to Mossadegh. A lot of songs this week. Greenwood Rhythm Coalition had their song Rise Up play as Red laid out the plan for everybody in true Red fashion. Then Jack White's Corporation played as the team puts Red's plan into action.
I love that song, by the way.
It was great. And the elevator got stuck. Then we had Damian Gerardo's song Sheets for the montage at the end. Wrestler fesses up about being the one to plant the marriage idea in Aram's head. Samar gives back the ring, and Liz finds out that she has a quote-unquote sister. I'm just putting the quote-unquote out there just because.
Gotcha. I like quote-unquote. All right, we'll go to characters. Now, this is going to be a little trickier this week because a lot of character moments. There weren't a lot of character moments, but we do have some that we can hit on before we get back to the Jennifer, not Jennifer thing. Cooper tries to help Liz build a case around Ian Garvey. The internal affairs says that there's nothing to charge him with. Really? All right. I mean, I would think a federal agent saying, hey, he killed my husband would be enough, but apparently it's very sticky waters when you're dealing with the U.S. Marshal.
Well, you can't charge him.
You have an eyewitness. Yes, you could.
Where's the eyewitness? Last I saw the eyewitness, he was in Red's custody.
Liz would be the eyewitness.
Liz was an eyewitness. She was passed out on the floor.
She remembered seeing him kill her husband. She acknowledged remembering this. Now, she could be disputed a little bit on the stand, sure, taken into account, but she's still an eyewitness. Come on.
This is 10 to 12 months later from the incident. This is
quite the stretch. She was in a coma. So I think you can use that as leverage. This is, hey, it's a TV thing. You got to accept it. But in the real world, yes, you could charge him.
I'm saying you could bring him in for questioning, but you got to let him go on a 24-hour release.
You could charge him in real world. The real world. I was a criminal law major. You can. You could charge him. You have an eyewitness. You have plenty of evidence. It's TV. It's fine. But yes, you could charge him. You have an eyewitness.
I don't know.
You have a reputable eyewitness. It isn't like some junkie on the street. I mean, yes, she was incapacitated to some effect, but she was able to recover her memory and remembers him clearly. Yes, she could charge him.
Conveniently, 10 months later.
Okay, counselor, you do whatever you want. You TV attorney your ass out of this. Hey,
that's what Reddington was telling her. It's like, it wouldn't hold up. It doesn't hold water.
In Reddington's opinion, a lot of things don't hold water that the law would actually stand up to. But it's fine. It's TV stuff. It's fine. It's fine. Anyway, they decide not to charge him. But hey, at least this guy tried to help. Then Cooper brings in Panabaker to help him get through the red tape. And he throws her advice back in his face at the end of the episode. You want my non the knife first?
Great line.
Or do you want to play footsie first? I think that was clever. Love that. What do you think about Cooper Panabaker coming back? I haven't seen her in a while.
I always love the two of them together, quite honestly. The relationship between the two of them was always interesting. What was the theory that was out back a while ago that after Charlene that maybe the two of them were hooking up because he was supposed to go play poker or something at her house? So I always love the two of them together. I think it's we need to see that more often, I think. I don't know how you work it into the story, but the two of them together are interesting back and forth dialogue to write for.
How do you ship that? Would that be?
You can ship it with their first names somehow. Syntheri?
Sure. Yeah, there's always somebody will come up with some real clever name. I can't think of one right now. It's been a long day.
Long day.
Dembe is a man of action, and you guys don't realize this, but we're actually recording, because we have to change our schedule this week, so we're recording right after the episode aired, so it's a little touchier. So if we miss, you know, three words that were in the corner, and everybody's like, how did you miss the three words that basically give the entire future plot away? That's why.
Yeah, the episode ended like 10 minutes ago.
Quick turnover. That's all. We're efficient here at Blacklist headquarters. So Dembe is a man of action. He even saves the bodyguards. Are you kind of surprised? Because, I mean, it's not like this guy was a diplomat.
Well, I mean, I think that it was his, what do you want to call it? He wants to do good for the world. I think that's what Dembe's character stands for. So he can't let these people die. So I think for him, it's an in-character moment, from what I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
I thought for sure, though, that he was going to be in the elevator, and the elevator was going to go, all three of them, down to the basement. And he was going to figure out how to get the brakes to kick in or something to save his own life. In that regard, I didn't think he'd actually try to lift him out of the elevator to save him. So that was quite interesting.
I didn't think. Well, I mean, they were down to the third floor, so I guess they would have survived, probably.
Probably, yeah. He could have adjusted himself to jump at the last minute to brace for the impact.
Everybody thinks that's what you do, and then you go look at some science, and you realize, nah, your brain will still be mush. So it doesn't work. I remember when I was a kid and I always thought if a plane crashed and I jump out of the plane right before you crashed, you'll be fine.
You're still moving at 600 miles an hour.
I actually believe that for the longest time, though, probably for like 10 years. Nah, man, I don't need a parachute. You just jump right before the plane crashes. You'll be fine.
Here's an idea. Drive the car till 70 miles an hour. Open the door, jump out. See how far you fly.
Yeah, it's science. Yeah. Science! Wrestler finally admits he gives bad advice.
Oh, and you missed the Dembe cooking school came back this week.
Oh, yeah. They're looking for walnuts.
Yeah, and he made a nice little cheese plate. Get some wine with that. I'd be down with that. I'm hungry right now.
Cool. Well, you know what? Since you cut me off, you can finish Wrestler.
Sure. Wrestler finally admits.
That's what we're doing now.
Wrestler finally does.
Every time you try and do this, we're going to. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, something like that.
True, isn't it?
Are we ready to go?
Go ahead. Okay.
Wrestler finally admits he gives bad advice and puts bad ideas in people's heads. You can take back over.
No, I got nothing. I got nothing. He looks very dapper in a collarless shirt, by the way. I just want to point that out.
He did. I thought that was a nice costume change. See him in a little bit different clothes.
He has several action scenes. Hair doesn't move. Just glorious mane that he has. Just got to respect it.
At least this week he didn't have to jog or run. He just kind of sidestepped and strafed.
He's in a gunfight. I mean, he's in a couple gunfights and pulling people out of elevators and everything else. And both times his hair is still like stellar. But that's really all I have with Wrestler. We do have some more from Samar. By the way, she speaks French very fluently.
What, doesn't Mojan speak like eight languages or something?
Well, obviously, but I mean, when you hear someone speak, you know, you hear Red speak French. Okay, it's a little clunky. You can tell he probably learned that. Maybe he's semi-fluent or he's familiar with it, but he's definitely not fluent. She sounded fluent. Like it rolled off her tongue. She had the dialect, the accent. I mean, she had it all. Yeah, just she does that well. Well, she gives Aram the ring back in a very dramatic fashion. I assume because she wants to hook up with Jean-Pierre.
Why not?
Mm-hmm, right? I mean, he was throwing it out. He's like, yeah, I like your voice. You know, whatever the cool French people say.
He's definitely not into Greeks, that's for sure.
No, he's not. This, she does say something I really love. It's kind of poetic, but she said, you have got to stop asking relationship advice from people who only have had terrible relationship. Amen. Every TV character should live by that advice. Every single one.
Including the one she had with Wrestler.
Yeah. I mean, anybody want to raise her hand and admit that it's kind of weird that the guy she slept with is giving relationship advice to the guy that she's dating now? That's kind of...
It's like people forget that Luke kissed Leia in the first Star Wars.
It's weird. It's just kind of weird. So what did you think about this? How this whole thing played out? Did it seem a little too dramatic for you? Or
no, I thought it was fine. I just was actually shocked it got as much screen time as it did, to be quite honest. I figured it was a one-and-done thing last week, and oh, hey, it's a nice gift, and we'd never hear about it again. But the fact that they gave it more screen time obviously means they're building up to something. Because when she hands the ring back to him, you're clearly saying, okay, Aram, here's your sign. I'm giving the ring back to you so that you can give it back to me again with an actual statement, an actual question. Yeah, it'll be fun to see how he actually proposes.
I don't know if that's... You think you took it that way?
I did take it that way. Otherwise, why would she give it back? She's like, it was a gift from your grandma. I know how much it meant to her for it to happen. So therefore, I'll hang on to it, you know, out of respect for your grandma. Versus, you know, no, she's clearly handing it back to him to say, give this to me when you're ready. Appropriately.
Right. Well, I think she's saying, until we need to get ourselves figured out. Like, what do we want out of this? Do we want to go for somewhere? Do we not want to go somewhere? Don't give me this big fancy thing from your grandma until we get it hammered out.
Well, maybe they haven't hammered out.
Well, I mean, he thought everything was good, and then Wrestler got it all up in his head. Maybe Wrestler's making a play. Maybe he's doing the long game. He's trying to break them up so then he can get her back.
Anything's possible in this show.
I mean, he's always wearing, like, when he was hanging out with Rhett, while they're hanging out abroad, you know, he lays back a little bit. He's not wearing his collared shirts, no suit. He's just, you know, he's got like a sweater or whatever. He's like, hey, I'm casual.
We already know he's a player from Homeland, so absolutely.
Absolutely. I think he's making a play. Go for it, man. Rom risks his life to help Liz and is very, very concerned about this plan going wrong because he doesn't want to get hit by a car. I got a feeling he's been hit on that bicycle before. And they end up staking out Pete's Tavern. It leads to Pete's Tavern. Well, one, what did you think of their little heist, their section of the heist?
Theirs was good. I feel like it was kind of a letdown that there wasn't at least anything on the IA file. It seemed like it was almost, if I was a ROM, I'd be a little bit more pissed off. I risked my life for this to happen, and there's nothing on here that's worth anything. And so now we have to go sit in a car all day. Like, I feel like he'd be a little bit more grumpy.
They got the best information, though. So technically, that was the biggest lead they could have possibly had.
In theory, yeah. It just kind of worked itself out, though.
Not in theory, in actuality. Theory would be it didn't happen. We just think it could. This happened. So technically, that was the best happenstance that could have came from that. So it was a great idea. And now they didn't get, on paper, they didn't get a bunch that they expected, but that led them to the best answer that they could have possibly had.
That's fair. I will give you that.
Wow, I must have killed you. All right.
Well, it took him 45 minutes for her to get there.
Well, I'm not saying it didn't take a while, because we had some heist and stuff to do.
Who takes 45 minutes to drink a beer, by the way? Wouldn't it be warm by then?
That part I don't understand. I mean, is he just waiting for her to arrive? Is he waiting to make sure nobody's following him? Why so long?
That's the only thing I could come up with, was that he obviously goes there to have a beer. He's clearly going to meet up with her as she starts her shift, but doesn't want to interfere in her work, but also wants to make sure he's clean coming and going. So that's why he probably has to take a 45-minute break instead of just coming in, having 20 minutes, and then getting up and walking away again. So clearly he's obviously losing a tail or something.
I mean, he hugged her right out there in the open, so all that cloak and dagger isn't worth for much if you're hugging and giving her a kiss in the front lawn.
It's true.
You also have Aram has this relationship issue. There's a crisis in terms of, you know, does she want to marry me? Does she not? Their relationship was great, basically, until Liz showed back up. I'm just saying. All right, moving on to Ian Garvey. He's making great use of Google Translator.
Well, his was a Chinese counterpart. I felt like I was getting punked here. Like, am I watching Mr. Robot or am I watching The Blacklist? Because that was very, very similar from that show. But yeah, I think it was a Chinese woman or man.
I assume. I don't. Man? What? It was a woman?
Well, there was a line that he said, and maybe this is me thinking about my Mr. Robot background from that show.
Irony, looking in the mirror.
Exactly. Yeah, when he said that, I thought, oh, maybe that was because he was a man dressed as a woman in this case, potentially.
Wow, I am not making that assumption. I assumed it was a woman. She seemed like a woman. You think everybody that's a woman is a man, is a man is a woman. You have a real problem that you should probably talk to somebody about.
It happens on Mr. Robot, and that's why I kind of thought about it. That's all I'm saying. Maybe it is just a woman.
Have you ever stopped to think that you see that everywhere? Maybe it's something you should see somebody about.
It's a possibility.
Maybe there's something going on in your body you want to talk to somebody about. That's all I'm saying. It's perfectly fine, man. It's a new world. Just talk to somebody. Also, Ian spends every Friday going to this bar meeting with this mysterious girl. Now we can assume Ian and Red go way back. Yes or no?
Well, we can assume that I think Red knows who Ian Garvey is. I don't think Ian Garvey knew the connection to Red until the duffel bag showed up. So I don't know if they're necessarily... Like, I don't know if he puts two and two together. Maybe he does.
Why do you think that? Look at the connection, though, because you've got potentially Jennifer, Raymond Reddington's daughter or whatever, that's been in WITSEC for many, many years. So he's very, very familiar with Raymond Reddington. Wouldn't you think, and throughout all this, it has seemed like Red totally gets who Ian Garvey is. Doesn't it seem like they would go way back?
Oh, I think they go way back. I just don't think they know who each other was until they met now at this moment, because there's nothing to say that Ian Garvey knows that it's Jennifer Reddington per se. Like, she could have came into his employ, into his protection after she was in WITSEC, and he only knows her as her WITSEC name. Now, I would assume that he's got a file, and the file would have the proper name on it, but maybe he doesn't get that information. Maybe he doesn't have that level of clearance. So maybe he doesn't know what he has underneath his nose. Potentially,
that would be a very hard pill for me to swallow, because what that would be such a coincidence that this girl, who happens to be supposedly Raymond's daughter, and he's got a beef with Raymond, and he goes to the secret spot once a week to secretly meet with this girl who happens to be Raymond's daughter, to say that they're connected and he doesn't know that they're connected would be quite the stretch that I don't know if I could buy.
Well, because then you're saying he's like long conning Jennifer at the same point that Red's long conning Liz.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying anything.
Well, she said that he's raised him like a daughter since when she was young and came into the program. So literally he's been in her life since almost the beginning of being in the program. So that means that if he knew that this was Reddington and they had a beef in the past, then he's literally keeping tabs on her specifically in case this would actually come to a head in the future.
Maybe they do go... To me, it seems painfully obvious they go way back now. I mean, you seem to think that they don't. I think this screams that they have a history together in some fashion that goes way, way, way back. And doesn't he have burns or something? I'm trying to remember... there's several episodes. Doesn't he also have something from that could be connected to a fire?
I don't remember. That's not ringing a bell in my head at all.
I'm almost positive Garvey has something that reflected back on that. So, you know, my thing has always been, I'm not convinced that Masha and Jennifer weren't both in the house on the night of the fire that Red was in. Now I could see that maybe Garvey was there. So there's potential for these things to have happened.
Yes, that I would give you plausibility on.
Plausibility, I'll take it. Okay. Yeah. We'll come back to Jennifer in a minute, okay? So Red loves Rita Hayworth.
Who doesn't?
And who doesn't? Because she's the key to escaping prison, in case you didn't know. Think about it. They head across the pond to concoct this plan to extract Melzadek. And then Red agrees to save his son, which he does. And if he directly, because he directly affects Garvey, he wants to strangle his lifeline, which this guy agrees to because, you know, he saves Red. And then we have a pretty sweet ass. Well, this is after we had a pretty sweet ass shootout in a church. This is really like Red's entire arc this episode. Did I miss anything major else?
Well, I thought it was interesting that they used the movie. Specifically, Gilda, right? Is you have and this is like going way back. So correct me if I'm wrong on any of this stuff, but from my understanding, it's like she's married to, is his name Johnny? Only in the movie they play off like they hate each other for most of it, and then they're trying to like swindle this hotel manager, and then the hotel manager ends up like flying in a plane over the ocean and fakes his death basically because he doesn't die. So the fact that we have like a cabal of, or it's a cartel in the movie, but the fact that we have a cartel versus a cabal, the fact that we have an ocean faking your death, and the fact that wasn't Rita a redhead in real life, correct? If I'm remembering correctly.
I have to check my Shawshank.
I think it's still a black and white poster in the Shawshank.
No, not anymore. Warden ripped it down.
That's true. That's true. Because it was so tightly taut on the wall.
Because apparently you can tape from inside a hole when you escape prison.
But I just thought the movie was interesting. Like there's some similarities there to what we've seen in The Blacklist. So I don't know if that was intentional.
Right.
I know there's been some people that have discussed about set placement or burn scars or things of that being kind of off in the show and not quite the attention to detail being played to it. So I don't know if we should look into that at all. But I thought the movie was interesting. An interesting pick.
I think there's quite a bit of attention to detail played, but you know,
I do as well. I do as well.
I didn't really feel like there was much more with Red. I think more of it has to do with like we've both said, the last 5 minutes. So let's get to how we got there. Liz also acknowledges she gives bad advice. Finally, good for you. We're evolving. Really love how her arc is continuing. I want to say all the people that had said she would be wishy-washy in season past. I haven't seen that at all this season. She has been stalwart on both her arcs. You know, the first part of the season where she's happily relegated to reconnecting her life and getting back into the FBI and, you know, trying to do good and build her family and everything else. And this darker side of the back half, I think she's the character has stayed the course the entire time. Agree or disagree?
Oh, I would totally agree. And I think this was proof that she is taking things into her own hands because she literally sidestepped Reddington directly in this episode. She's like, nope, I'm not going to go to Paris. I'm going to do my own thing and send Wrestler and Samar instead. So I think that was good on her to keep with the, you know, I'm my own independent woman that she's been since Ruin came back to start this winter spring run of episodes. And because of that, I think that her arc is going to be very interesting to watch over the next four to see how her and Red come head to head. Like we were saying, you know, could it be that, you know, she kills him? Is it that he's conning her the whole time? It'd be really interesting to see how this all plays out 4 weeks from now.
And I just want to point out how much, as a fan, how much more intriguing and interesting the stories are when Tom isn't here. I'm sorry. I just really feel like it has led to better story. I always felt like he was a crutch in the show, and I feel like the crutch has been removed. And you know, now it's kind of a catalyst. I get that. But it's been good for the show, for many characters. Not Wrestler still, but everybody else. Hopefully we'll get some Wrestler action here coming up. But this really reminded me that, man, you know, they mentioned Tom, but if they didn't mention him, I probably wouldn't remember Tom at this point.
But now
that's how well they've done with this transition.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing that's interesting, though, is now we've just introduced another new character. And a new character who might be a prominent player for these next four episodes. So depends on how that's going to start taking away from people again that we've just started kind of settling back in with. So I'll be curious to see how they work everybody in together for these last four.
You probably want to get in talking about her, huh?
Maybe. This mysterious woman that we don't know whose name it is?
Well, we do know kind of what her name is.
We assume we know what it is.
Well, we know what they told us. Okay, so all this leads us to Pete's Tavern. Because, you know, she works for the Rob, she gets to Pete's Tavern, they stake it out. And it leads us to the episode's biggest question, which is, what are wings made of? So we wanted to let you know, a buffalo wing is the cuisine of the United States, according to Wikipedia. And it's an unbreaded chicken wing section, flat or drumette, that is generally deep fried, then coated in a sauce consisting of a vinegar-based cayenne pepper hot sauce and melted butter prior to serving. Mm.
Are you putting that out there because you think that people actually think it comes from a buffalo?
You never know, Troy. I'll be honest. When she asked the question, I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should Google that. And I did. So there you go.
Look at you bringing the knowledge this week.
That's literally the only research I did. All right.
What if buffaloes really could fly, though? And that would be a giant buffalo wing.
Okay. I'm sure.
It'd be very tasty, too.
And according to you, the buffalo would change sex before it landed.
That's right, so, it would.
There you go. All right. But the real question is, Senorita Masfina, who's that girl? Oh, that's an old 80s reference for you. Going by the name Lillian May Roth, and she is 35 years old. This is the information that I attained from the show. Lillian May Roth, she's 35. Says she's been in Witsec since she was a kid. Says Garvey is a good man protecting her from the devil, her father, Raymond Reddington. Okay. What do you think? Who do you think this girl is? Your opinion.
Clearly Jennifer. It's the only thing that can come to mind. At this point in the game, it has to be Jennifer.
Do you remember the details for Jennifer? Do you want me to relay who Jennifer is?
I mean, in short, I mean, I don't have like exact wordings from the episodes, but back in the Berlin Saga season 2, early on, Red was afraid that Berlin was going to come after Naomi, so Red sought out Naomi in Witsec. Naomi was supposedly married to him, and they said they had a daughter, Jennifer, together. And Naomi would not give up Jennifer's location, said that Jennifer wanted nothing to do with him. And so, technically, we're assuming that if they were married, and this is the mother and daughter, a lot of people have speculated that this might have been the family that was in the house that he blows up in season 1, where he came home after Christmas Eve and there was just blood everywhere. And so, it depends on how you interpret all of the language and stuff on the scene over the various seasons and various years, but that's the general crux of where people think things are landing as of right now, that when he came home, something happened at his house, that there was blood everywhere. The family was already gone, so the family would have already been in Witsec, although it led him to believe that they might have been murdered.
Yeah, well, there are some nods, especially when Naomi had her episodes. I can't remember. Was she in like three? Two or three, something like that. And they talked about Jennifer, and a lot of the fans, if you're newer to the show, a lot of fans were kind of bothered in a way because they knew Jennifer was in Witsec. They knew that she was kind of, moving around to some degree, but Red never really seemed overly concerned with her, which made her to me seem more like she was Naomi's daughter, kind of like a stepdaughter, as opposed to a real daughter.
Yeah,
so,
because he was more interested at that time in Berlin's daughter, right? He was the girl's correct picture and everything that he pulled from Stewmaker. He was never interested in finding Jennifer or looking for Jennifer.
Correct. He was never really obsessed with Jennifer. So, you know, throughout the series, he's always been obsessed with Liz, and he cares about Liz, and he's focused on Liz, but he's never felt this way that I've seen for Jennifer. He seemed concerned for her safety. That's it. That says stepfather to me. That says that's not my daughter. I think his name might be on some paperwork or something, but that's a lot of stepfathers have done that over time. So I could totally see that being the case. There's a lot of different options. I mean, I guess you could look at what if she's actually Garvey's daughter and Red was trying to keep her hidden from her dad and he doesn't know that it's there's a lot of different ways that you could go. A lot of guesses here, but to me, it's definitely Jennifer. I don't think there's anybody else to really think it is. I know fans are already screaming it's Jennifer, so I'm kind of on board with them. And it's definitely, in my opinion, definitely not Red's actual blood daughter. Not the Raymond, whoever this Raymond Reddington is that we're dealing with, is not her dad, in my opinion.
And then we have the challenge, right? Because 35, right? 35. So that means this particular woman would have been born in 1984, if my math is holding true, because it's 2019 in the show, right? Because Tom's toe tag was November 18, and it was 10 months, and yada, yada. So if it's 19 in the show, then we got, you know, probably 84, maybe 85. So she would be the same age as Liz, a year or two older, potentially. And so people are trying to figure out, okay, well, was she then the ballerina girl, or was she the bubble girl? The bubble girl being the girl in the backyard that Red sees before he blows up the house. Ballerina girl, obviously, from the Swan Lake performance. So they're trying to say, is Jennifer one of those two girls, potentially? Although I think the girl in the backyard was still Masha, based on, you know, hair color, style of the child that was playing the part, compared to the closet and the fire. And then the ballerina girl, I still say, was actually Katerina that he was thinking about, not necessarily one of his daughters. Because the play from Swan Lake was 1987. So the girls would have been too young at that point.
Well, I feel like the ballerina thing has already been established that it's actually Liz. So in my opinion, it is. Jennifer could have been ballerina too. I mean, you know, you can work that timeline in. Maybe they both were in ballet because they both were together at some point. You know, there's a way to connect them. There really is. You know, people, I think, get stuck on one thing or another and think there's no way to work certain things. And there's lots of ways to work around some of the holes that people see. But people get fixated on a certain theory, and that's all they see.
Well, I think the reason why they don't think Liz could be the ballerina girl was because if you take when Liz died in season 3, she was 31 on the tombstone. And if it would have assumed it were real time in the show, that's 2016. That makes her birth date 1985. So she would have only been 2 years old, and the ballerina on stage is clearly not a 2 year old.
And again, we don't know when he was watching her, right? He could have been holding an older program. You don't know. There's ways to work around these things. There's ways to work around
things. Well, of course there's ways to work around it. It's the blacklist. That's the whole point of the show.
That's what I'm saying. So you can only get stuck on this stuff if you're stuck on your own personal theory. If you take out whatever you want to believe, there are a lot of different options available, including with Jennifer. I mean, there's a possibility. Naomi could have had a boyfriend or a husband before Red. He got involved right when she was pregnant. And then the baby was born, and Red was there, so his name maybe went to the birth certificate. You can even get him around the birth certificate, and he's still not the father. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that happens all the time in real life. So there's lots of ways to work around these things.
And maybe he wasn't in her life as a stepfather because he was in the Navy and had to travel and was in Russia and doing whatever he was doing with Katerina at the time.
I mean, maybe he only married Naomi to protect her from something. You know, maybe he only married her to... because he respected her, he loved her, but, you know, he was never in love with her, one of those deals. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to work around some of these things. Naomi doesn't hate him with a passion, so to me that means that she has some kind of respect for him, maybe not for his chosen path, but respect for him, and never really seemed overly concerned that he was back in her life, which to me means she wouldn't be overly concerned about him being back in Jennifer's life, which means he was never a threat to her.
Right.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Are there any other options that this could be? Can you think of anything else that maybe we haven't mentioned before, where how Jennifer could play into this? Do you think there's any chance Jennifer's actually this Raymond Reddington's, Jane Spader's kid on the show?
I mean, like a biological kid, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you believe there's any chance in your mind, do you believe there's any
chance? Well, there's a chance, but no, I say it was, I'm with you, stepdaughter all the way.
It'll be interesting. And I'm glad they came back to this, because this is one of those red herrings that people keep saying they forgot about. I'm like, you don't know what, you know, they're doing a long story here. You know, they're doing a long con. So they're trying to play it out, and you never knew when this was going to come back. I have a feeling it was always going to come back. It just had to work itself out.
I'm excited it's back, because we can see how it plays out, and hopefully that leads to an answer, and there's either at least some connection to this Christmas Eve story that we get in the pilot and then kind of reinforced, I guess, in the Madeline Pratt episode. Because remember, it could just be lying the whole time while he's in with Madeline Pratt, but it does kind of line up with what happens and what's said in the pilot as far as the Christmas Eve story goes. And then it could also line up to the fire, potentially, depending on what the Bag of Bones is involved with. And I think we're in for some really big, exciting reveals. This one was like, it's exciting. I'm glad they came back here. Some people are more excited about it than others. But I think that what comes out of this is more exciting. And I think why they probably had to take a week off, because we needed to ramp up our excitement for the last four.
You know why I'm really excited about the thing that I love most about this episode is that immediately, thank the Lord, immediately Liz says, I'm his daughter too. I'm like, thank you. I was so, as soon as Jennifer, not Jennifer, said that she's Raymond Reddington's daughter, I thought this is going to be one of those things. I was worried it would be one of those things where it's like three or four episodes and she doesn't want to say that she's also his daughter because she wants to look into it and find out what's going on. Thank God. I'm glad that that Band-Aid was ripped off.
Oh, see, now I thought that Band-Aid was going to be ripped off when we come back, because I thought it was going to be like, I'm Raymond's daughter, cut to black. Like, just on her face, like, in shock, without her saying anything.
I liked it better this way.
I did, too. Because then it can just start clean going forward. It can be like, well, what do you mean? Let's explore that.
Well, that's it for this particular episode. We're not done yet. And before we move on to Red's Rhetoric, I do want to mention a quick plug for ourselves, because this weekend coming up before the next episode, we are going to be starting Beyond Westworld, which is our Westworld podcast. We did it for season one. We're coming back for season two. And if you're a fan of that show, our initial, our season two preview episode should be out by Monday, I want to say. And, At the very latest, Sunday or Monday. So look forward to that. Beyond Westworld.
And then I will plug this Friday in select theaters across the country and video on demand, Amir Arison's movie 20 Weeks will be coming out. You can check that out at 20weeks-movie.com for theater locations across the country. And because we have the week off next week, if all lines up well, Mr. Amir Arison will be here on the podcast. So cross your fingers, special episode next week. If that happens, you'll only get it if you're subscribed to the podcast. So make sure you subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify soon, maybe even before next week. And then we will make sure that we'll get that episode out to you. So we'll talk with Amir and marriage and the movie and future of the Blacklist. It'll be fun.
And also that's on video on demand. So if you can't find the theater, you can get it video on demand too. So.
Although I haven't seen it in iTunes for pre-order yet, which I thought was weird. I thought it would at least be in the pre-order section.
I'm almost positive. So check your video on demand distributors, which is usually, you know, Apple and Amazon Prime and, you know, all that Vudu, all that stuff. Just check those.
Fandango's got movies now too, right?
Yep. Everybody's got movies now. Everybody's got digital streaming. So check it out, man. 20 weeks. It looks like a really, I've seen some great reviews for it.
That's 20weeks-movie.com.
You said that.
Reinforcing.
All right. Well, also beyondwestworldpodcast.com. Check that out. All right, we'll be right back with Red's Rhetoric right after this.
What if you could live your life without limits, where every desire you ever imagined could be fulfilled? Experience Westworld, a show where every human's dark side will be revealed. After watching each episode, listen to Beyond Westworld, a podcast featuring humans and hosts from around the park diving deep into HBO's illustrative narrative. Every hero has a code, and so do you. Download your itinerary and the show at beyondwestworldpodcast.com or your podcast app of choice.
Hi, it's Megan Boone, and you're listening to Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
Welcome to Red's Rhetoric, that part of the show where we play two scenes from this week's episode of The Blacklist, and then you get to vote which is your favorite on our poll over at the website. Go to theblacklistexposed.com and look for this post for Zarak Mosedek. All right, well, 67% of you love when Red and Liz are on the same page as Red Sorry won last week. Now, this week's first clip comes when Red pays an unexpected visit to a friend.
Bonjour.
Reddington.
Agent Navabi, quel plaisir.
Perhaps I misunderstood you.
When you dropped us back at your hotel, you said you'd be back in an hour. It's been three.
Dembe and I were detoured.
We're in the Latin Quarter at the moment, having a quick visit with an old friend.
Raymond, I found some reblochon.
The reblochon.
See if he has some quince paste or a handful of walnuts around here somewhere.
I hate to interrupt your little Parisian vacation.
But if we're going to intercept the most notorious drug supplier in the Middle East, we're going to need to hear your plan.
Yes. About that.
What about that?
A small wrinkle, nothing to fret.
What's going on?
Well, it's... truth be told, I anticipated a dear friend and contractor by the name of Bunyan Dufour would be handling Mossadegh's security in country. He's a trusted operative
who's worked with Mossadegh in the past.
And let me guess, your friend didn't get the job.
Overbid the contract.
Worse yet, it appears Victor Manzon is now running point on Mossadegh's security. Unfortunately, Victor and I have something of a sordid past. I'll spare you the details. But the long and the short of it is that if Victor were inclined to hand over Mossadegh's security detail to anyone, it wouldn't be me.
Wonderful. So how do you suggest we find him?
No, I wouldn't suggest we do anything.
Look, if you think we're going to sit around and wait while you drink away the day, Papa's sake.
Welcome back. How's the noggin? You went down like a bag of rocks.
Reddington, sir, fils de pute.
C'est toujours. Save it, Victor. I've had too much to drink to care what you're saying in any language. The only thing you and I are going to discuss is Zarag Mossadegh and whatever rock you and your security firm are hiding him under. So let's get down to brass tacks before you and I and your noggin have another go with the bottle.
Our second comes when Red goes up and down with Donald.
Hold on. Below the elevator?
Right. Well, while rigging the CCTV network, Jean-Philippe will also set charges that will detonate at the precise moment that Mossadegh and his men are alone in the elevator, out of reach from the rest of their security team, thereby dropping the car down the shaft, then engaging the emergency brakes just as they arrive in the basement, where we'll be waiting to dispatch the guards, grab Mossadegh, and flee while the rest of the security team scrambles.
We'll kill him in the fall. It's too big a risk.
Risk comes from not knowing what you're doing.
Okay, assuming that all of this works, we still need to get him out of the building, into the safe house, and convince this guy to talk.
Yes, but one thing at a time. Isn't it funny how things work out 5 years later, and here you are with me in Paris preparing to steal a wanted man off the elevator. It's almost as if you didn't try to kill me in Belgrade all those years ago.
No, it's not.
Well, either way, if we pull this off, you'll have something to tell the grandkids. With a knick-knack paddywhack, give the dog a bone. This old man came rolling home.
Which was your favorite? If you love a good wine, vote hashtag red noggin. Or if you love a good limerick, vote hashtag red rhyme.
All right, now it's time for Special Agent Intel. Let's see what you guys thought. April, Zavilo, tomato, tomato. So Garvey wants revenge on behalf of this girl. So what if Red thought Liz was his daughter, but actually it was this girl? Mistaken identity, that's why Red wasn't present in her life.
Good idea.
I think that would be a hard pill for fans of the show to swallow.
I would agree with that. I think they want it to be face value at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a relationship with Liz. If you rip that off and it's not true anymore, I don't know. People stick with the show. It's just, yeah, I think it could work for like a series ending reveal, I guess, maybe. But I don't know. I don't think fans would like it.
We'll have to see how the series ending comes out. Maybe that's part of that, along with the Bag of Bones reveal at the same time.
Yeah, we're going to wait that long, huh? All right. That makes sense. We're never going to know who these Bag of Bones are.
Shorter than the 23 episodes we've waited this far. D.D. Elliott, another great episode. It was great to see Red working with the team again, and great to see him giving Wrestler crap again. Just like the good old days of season one. Big question, will Liz tell Red she knows where Jennifer is?
No, I don't think that'll happen for a little bit.
No, that's her leverage.
Yeah.
Yep. Even though she forgets that she can have leverage over him and gives it up pretty easily like she did last week. So hopefully she learned her lesson last week and she'll keep that leverage to herself.
She'll hold this one. I think she'll play it close to the vest. If James Lale, if I understand things correctly, the skeleton ties somehow to Jennifer. Could it be Carla and the woman in Witsec is Katerina? I was kidding. But if Jennifer was a willing participant in a deception, it could work. Not likely, though.
Yeah, what if Jennifer's playing the long con? Yeah, I hate Reddington. He sucks.
Yeah.
But really, she's just keeping tabs. She's part of the larger mystery.
That's a very detailed and long con.
So it's the one Red's been playing.
Yeah, but there's something in it for him. We just don't know what it is yet.
Right. Douglas, to quote my 17-year-old niece, I'm shook. 4 episodes left, and we have more questions than answers and still no clue. Who's in that damn bag?
Who's in the bag? I'm all sure.
We can't say what's in the bag because we already know what's in the bag. Skeletons.
He says I'm shook, and now all I hear is Elvis in my head, and that's going to be me for the rest of the episode. Thank you very much. All right. Greg Norman. Greg, I also am starting to think, thanks to Wendy Davis, thought a few weeks ago that Dom might have been there the night of the fire. And while Katarina was talking, was taking Liz to Kaplan, Dom pulled dead Red out of the firehouse before the authorities got there. They put the body in the suitcase and Kaplan buries it. Whoa. Whoa.
Dom might have been there the night of the fire. I'm trying to process that for a minute.
So Dom might have been there the night of the fire. And while Katarina was taking Liz to Kaplan, Dom pulled dead Red out of the firehouse before the authorities got there. They put the body in the suitcase and Kaplan buries it.
Which would make Red an imposter.
Yeah, but could be Dom's son. Because, yeah.
George, paraphrasing Wendy, said Dom pulled dead Red. So dead.
So he would be an imposter, but Dom would absolutely have to know him.
Sure.
Yeah. Huh, interesting.
Comes back around to my theory.
Possibly. Not necessarily.
Okay, Monica says, my head is spinning. A sign of a good episode is me yelling at the TV for the commercial interruptions. First, we get 2 capers in one, the stealing of the internal affairs file and then stealing Mossadegh. Second, I want that translator device. Third, can we get more team?
Yeah. I just want to say that you do have that translator device if you have a Google phone.
Sure do.
So
it's not quite that good, but it's close.
It's pretty close. Yeah. You can do a lot with Google Translate.
She also went on to say, by the way, I hope we get more background on the wrestler and Red encounter in Belgrade, or was it Brussels? I forget. Fourth, the non-denial dance between Cooper and Panabaker. Fifth, take the relationship advice and people who were in bad relationships line was awesome. I would redact that to tragic relationships, personally. Poor wrestler. He seems to get dumped on a lot this week. Last but not least, Jennifer. Will she help Liz? Although she seems like a good person, I don't think she'll help her. This episode is a keeper and a blast. It's because we have to wait 2 weeks for the next one. But I give this one an A.
Hey, but you might have an interview with Aram next week.
That's right.
So keep your ear open. Keep your ear to the ground. Well, I think it's going to do it for this episode, man, because it's kind of we're barreling forward. It's rolling into the final. What do we got left? 4 episodes?
4 to go. 4 to go.
4 to go. Any idea where it's going yet? I know all I've heard is it's going to end the season on this amazing cliffhanger, which I know people are worried about renewals and stuff. If we're this close and you know there's a cliffhanger and it hasn't been announced as it's not being renewed, I think we're okay.
I'm going to say we're okay too.
Yeah, I think we're okay.
Yeah, last year might have been a little dicey. This year, pretty sure we're going to get a 6.
Yeah, I'm almost positive. So, and I have no knowledge whatsoever.
We have not been told anything. Do not quote us. Don't call.
Just an opinion. That's it. But I think you guys would be fine.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be cool if you get 5 whole seasons of this back and forth dance, and then they end on a cliffhanger, and it never finishes?
No, I think it does too well for Netflix. Netflix would bring it back for at least 13.
Yeah, or just 2 hours to finish it off. Yeah. Yeah, they would do something. So we'll get an any no matter what. Don't you worry about it. We'll be fine. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for this episode. You ready to conclude this bad boy?
Why not? Take us on out.
All right. Well, be sure to follow us on Twitter at TheBlacklistGSM, where we live tweet during the East Coast feed, and we use the show's hashtag, TheBlacklist.
Don't forget to follow us on Tumblr, Instagram, and also join the Facebook group. Just search for The Blacklist Exposed. Talk about the show, the podcast, or your favorite heist movie.
You can also subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast player of choice. You can even listen from the website. But if you're really on the go, make sure you download our app for iOS and Android powered by Spreaker. You will also be able to find all the intel and analysis about this episode for Zarak Mossadegh by visiting theblacklistexposed.com. Big thanks for listening. Don't forget to answer our profiling question. Who is the man that wants to meet with Garvey?
Ooh.
No, no. Ooh. Who do you think it is? Ooh.
Let us know who's that girl. Next week.
Who's that girl? Did nobody get that? That was a Madonna song. Am I the only one that? No? All right. Okay. Have a great night.
Have a great night. Hopefully we'll see you next week.
Take care.
Until next time, I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs. That's at Troy Heinrichs on Twitter. And if you want to learn more about me, just visit, well, about.me/Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson. You can hear me talking about movies and TV on the Hollywood Outsider podcast, as well as Remake This Movie Right. We are available at thehollywoodoutsider.com or on Twitter at 5popcorn. Be sure to subscribe, download the app, submit your feedback, but most importantly, keep yourself off of
the blacklist.
The Blacklist Exposed is a Golden Spiral Media production. Find more of our great podcasts at goldenspiralmedia.com/podcasts.